France's new president will now get a new education in governing. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In the French presidential election, the pro-Europe candidate Emmanuel Macron has resoundingly helped push back his nationalist challenger, winning by a 66-34% margin. This morning, I spoke with Gavin Lee in Paris. He's Europe reporter for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Some are tempted to see the outcome as a victory for globalization, but the political realities going forward must be more complex.
I think it is. I mean, this is a man who's a paradox in himself. You know, he wants to bring the man who's the outsider to change politics, neither the left or the right, he said. And yet, he was a banker at Rothschild for years. He went to all the elite schools in France. He also was the economy minister for François Hollande and the Socialist Party. One of my colleagues in the last couple of weeks said to him, "You don't look like a revolutionary, you know, Robespierre figure, are you?" He said, "No, but in the modern world, we can change things slowly democratically." His vision is closer integration in Europe, but at the moment, many commentators would say that's still vague. They're waiting for the devil in the detail.
And the detail will, in part, play out in the legislative process in France. That is going to be very complicated for Macron.
At the moment, you know, this is a brand new party. Some call him the upstart crow in that he's had a year to get a marsh together. You know, some of the members, they've got several thousand members now, in a month's time will be going for the first elections for their, what they call deputés, the MPs, the 577 seats. Now, he's got to try to get, first of all, to be the biggest party, but many would doubt if he can get the majority. And if they get to a stage where they're having to look at other parties, the socialists, the established parties, some would say this idea of a revolutionary spirit could be torn from side to side. So this now, I mean, he said this yesterday in his victory speech. He said he's aware of the rage. He's aware, he said, of the anxiety and doubt that he can't get the united support given the how fractious it is with the far-right party and their supporters at 33%. So I think that will be key to see in a month's time what kind of movement he's got and whether he has to power share.
The BBC's Gavin Lee in Paris. Thank you very much.
All the best. Good to talk to you.
Now, the private equity firm KKR is considering buying the memory chip business of Toshiba of Japan. This according to Bloomberg News today. Toshiba has been struggling for years with an accounting scandal, missed deadlines for reporting its financials, and the bankruptcy of its nuclear subsidiary, Westinghouse, this March. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra is here live to tell us more. Marielle?
Toshiba's in a bad place. Most recently, it bought Westinghouse and started to build a couple nuclear reactors in the U.S. That project ended up running over budget and years behind schedule, and Toshiba lost more than $6 billion. So the company badly needs the cash from this sale. The thing is, KKR, the potential buyer, is a private equity firm. And the private equity model is traditionally to buy a company, cut costs, often by laying people off, and then sell or go public. The point is to turn a profit. KKR made this model famous when it bought RJR Nabisco in the late 80s. So the point is, this wouldn't necessarily be a turnaround story for Toshiba's memory chip business. It looks more like an opportunity for KKR.
The leveraged buyout business, really. Marketplace Marielle Segarra, thank you. Climate talks are underway in Germany this week amid concerns about the Trump administration's friendliness toward energy companies. Some countries at the talks in Bonn are calling for more transparency. They worry that business has too much influence over delegates at these kinds of climate meetings. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
The group includes China, India, and Ecuador. They want rules making potential ties clearer. The human rights group Corporate Accountability International recently released a report showing several ties between business groups that typically attend climate talks and the fossil fuel industry. Jesse Bragg is a spokesman for the group.
These entities should not be allowed to be at the negotiating table when we're talking about saving our planet from the climate crisis.
They don't actually sit at the table, but they do mingle in the halls. Others, however, think it would be strange, even irresponsible, to keep businesses out of the process. Andrew Light is with the World Resources Institute. He says businesses are key to fighting climate change.
Governments cannot do this alone. Businesses cannot do this alone. NGOs cannot do this alone. We've all got to work together.
He points out that many businesses have stepped up their efforts to slash greenhouse gases. Hundreds are pushing President Trump to remain in the landmark Paris Agreement to cut global emissions. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
We'll get another snapshot of the U.S. economy this morning when the Fed publishes its Labor Market Conditions Index for the month of April. The new data follows Friday's news that the unemployment rate dropped to 4.4% last month, near a 10-year low. The relatively new index out today is meant to give a more complete picture of the jobs market. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The Labor Market Conditions Index is a summary of 19 different indicators, including the big ones, the monthly job numbers and unemployment rate, plus average weekly hours and wages, how many people are quitting their jobs or taking new ones. Economist Carola Binder at Haverford College says the index is highly correlated with changes in the unemployment rate.
Which means that that index is not really telling you anything different than the unemployment rate would be telling you.
But it was useful 3 years ago, according to Lakshman Achithan with the Economic Cycle Research Institute. Unemployment was falling quickly, but wage growth hadn't picked up yet. He says the new index helped support the Fed's case for not raising interest rates.
It served a purpose at the time to say the labor market is not as tight as the falling unemployment rate suggests.
Now the Fed is raising rates. The indicator is still considered experimental. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And two big names in local TV are merging. There's word that Sinclair Broadcast Group will spend nearly $4 billion to buy Tribune Media. Sinclair is already the biggie in U.S. TV stations, and after this merger, it will have more than 200 stations nationwide. The Federal Communications Commission recently relaxed its ownership rules, allowing consolidation on this scale. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.